Hey, really glad you're here. My name is Garrett Moore, if we've never met before. I'm on staff here with... Thank you. I see this is going to be a rough evening. I'm getting a lot of feedback already. Okay. I'm on staff with our Young Adults and Young Families Ministry here at Perimeter. And if you haven't been around here with us on Tuesday nights, you might think that I'm a musician. I used to play a fair amount of music here at Perimeter, but I've been hanging out with these guys down here with Young Adults for the last few years. So, man, so glad you're here. Corey, Jenna Lee, thank you guys for emceeing for us tonight. Cam, thank you for leading us in singing as well. I love your voice, and I love when you lead us, bro. And, I'm personally just excited to be with y'all tonight and to be kicking off this Singleness Redefined series. I feel privileged to do that. I'm excited to see all your faces here. This is sweet. And see so many friends coming from different places, from different stories. You know, even if you're sitting beside someone and you feel like, you know, we're probably pretty similar, you know, and maybe we're both guys, we're close to the same age. I bet if we started to unpack our stories a little bit, you know, we'd see similarity, certainly, across the whole group. And yet, we would see there's just uniqueness in the ways that God has brought us all here tonight. We all have very unique stories. Singleness comes in many different forms, am I right? Sometimes it's welcome, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's painful, and yet there are many times with fun and joy as well. And so, you know, as we come into these days, over the next 6 weeks in these series, one thing that I would ask of each of us as we come each time would be grace. Grace. Would you bring grace to bear? Would you pray for grace for all of us here, for these nights, for these various communities that are represented here together, for the fellowship, and certainly for us who are going to be speaking? Jeff Norris, Caleb Click, and I will give the talks over the next few weeks, and we'll have some folks sharing some stories as well, sort of testimonies of their singleness, and we're really going to try to think of this from every angle as much as we can to address the various challenges that you might be encountering, but we're probably not going to think of everything, right? We're just probably not. We're probably going to miss something. So, you know, if there's something along the way that maybe rubs you the wrong way, if there's something even that you think, that's wrong, let me invite you to give us feedback. If you can, feel free to email us or whatever. Let us know. You know, we need to learn and grow as communicators, and so we would very much appreciate that opportunity to grow. But let me ask that you would do it graciously. Let me ask that no matter where you're coming from, if you feel sort of a critical spirit creeping up, would you fight against that with us together? We're probably going to miss something. We're three married men giving a talk on singleness, or giving a series on singleness. We're aware that that's not ideal, by the way, right? We know. But we love you. We love you. Even those of you that I don't know tonight, I'm so glad you're here with us. If you're part of this church, man, I'm so glad that you are a part of this church. I absolutely love that you're here tonight. And I want to care for you better. I want to think for you better. And we deeply desire for you to know that you are loved. We love you. We're so glad that you've decided to join us. We're doing this series because we love you. This has been brewing for a long time, actually. Many of you would not know that. Some of you have maybe talked a little bit about this over the years with, but I'm not the only one to have vision for this. But 3 years ago, I watched a singles conference that was live cast from a church that I really love and respect, and I was so encouraged by it. I went and talked to David McNeely, who is our old young adults pastor, and he watched it as well and just thought the same thing. And so we started brainstorming together back then, how could we make this a reality here at Perimeter. And so, you know, it took some work over the past 3 years just to figure out when and how we would do this. And honestly, even this year, it looked like it might not happen. But I think that God made a way. And so we're doing this series because we love you. Yes, true. But I think we're doing this series because God loves you. And you know, obviously things around here can be really hard to figure out when and how and where are we going to do all of these various events that we try to plan as a church. But I think a door just really opened up this year. Our church has been, you know, trying to think of how do we bless the community outside these walls. And we do a whole lot of that in serving and mercy and justice ministries. You may be aware of that already, that this church is really committed to serving in our community. But, you know, we wanted to do that in some other ways as well. And so some conversations began to come up about maybe some series that would serve our community in a different way. And so, you know, one of those happened just this last month in January that was addressing parenting and family. And, you know, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, every parent has serious questions, serious challenges, thinking about how do we help our kids thrive. And so that series was designed to sort of address those folks and those challenges. And I know some of your parents here, you may have even taken part in that one as well. And then we were thinking about this as well. This series was a part of that. And thinking, you know, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, when you're trying to navigate life and navigate this culture and thrive yourself as a single person, there are significant challenges. There are significant questions, aren't there? And so we think God has something to say about that. That's the big idea of this series. So we hope this will not be merely a good time, a fun time, time to connect together. That'll happen. We want that. We really hope that it will be genuinely helpful as well. So whether you're a person who has been a part of Perimeter Church for a very long time, for many years, or you, if you're just joining us for the first time tonight and you're not even sure about this God stuff, or everybody in between, great. This is for you. You know, there's a reason that in particular diving into this subject is close to my heart. Most of my years of singleness were rough, honestly. I think God actually showed up in my life in a powerful way, and that's a big part of why I'm on staff with young adults, primarily, you know, working with young single folks. I didn't get married until I was 31, and I thought that was a long time. You know, if you compare to some of my friends, maybe it was a long time. I now have plenty of friends who were single longer or are still single longer. And so I recognize to everyone, 31 might not sound like that long at all, you know. Whether it's long or not, though, for me, it was painful. I grew up in a family where we went to church and I heard about Jesus. And so at a fairly young age, I thought, yep, I like this Jesus guy. I think I'll be a Christian. And, you know, later on got involved with a good youth group in high school and, you know, mostly stayed out of trouble. And truth be told, I probably thought that was most of what it meant to be a Christian, just stay out of trouble. And then in college, I got involved with a really great group, a ministry on campus, and I began to grow in my faith, and it was a really just great time. I learned to share my faith for the first time. It's really, really cool. And I still kept out of trouble, at least, you know, the big trouble. And toward the end of my time on campus, yeah, I stayed away from the opposite sex, honestly, almost until I was a senior in college. And I finally started dating a young lady, and I just fell head over heels for her. Was convinced we were going to get married. She was beautiful, seemed to have depth. You know, I mentioned I was a musician, she was a painter. That made sense. That was important to me, I guess, at that time. I don't know. And best of all, she was into me, right? That's the most important thing right there. And so we were good. And I was smitten. Do we know that what that means? Okay, we still use that word. I was head over heels. I was crushing. I don't know. What do we say? So, you know, we start dating. And basically, you know those things that people do when they really go off the deep end in a relationship. You know, like those things that your friends start doing when they're in a bad relationship. And you're like, no, no, and maybe you've been that person as well. That was me. We were just a cliche, bad relationship, just no boundaries, enmeshed with each other emotionally, codependent, sort of isolated from friends that could kind of help drag me back towards sanity. Just ridiculous, totally ridiculous. And sadly, it wasn't just relational, emotional mess either. We didn't have good physical boundaries as well. And so we became sexually involved, and that just added a whole other level of complication and difficulty and hypocrisy as well, right? Because here I am, this guy who says, I believe in this, and I'm diving headlong into rebellion against it. And the short story is that relationship didn't last forever. We dated for a couple years, and as we went along, just the difficulty and the lack of health, I mean, it just only got worse and worse. And one day, the relationship ended. And it ended in just about the worst, most dramatic way that you can imagine, and I won't give details, but I was just crushed, absolutely crushed, and so very alone. And so, you know, I was in this relationship for a couple years, but, you know, really the rest of my time in my 20s and early 30s, I was single, and honestly, I could probably count on one hand the number of dates I went on after that. And I dealt with a fair amount of depression in those years. You know, not only did I feel alone, but I had this constant reminder in the back of my head that someone had seen me, right? Had come this close and said, no thanks, had betrayed me, you know, had looked and said, I'm not sure I want to be stuck with him forever. And it took me years to work through some of my hang-ups from that time. And for the most part, I hated those years. Some of you resonate with that. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. And some have had a different path, different experience, and that's okay. That's great. Some of you have probably dealt with and processed singleness better than I have, or better than I did. But I think one thing that we can all connect with, one thing that made my pain anyway more acute in those years was what I'm calling the insidious lie of singleness. The insidious lie of singleness, that who you are is defined by your relationship status. That who you are is defined by your relationship status, and therefore your worth is determined by that relationship status as well. And we don't believe that, right? No, that's crazy. Of course not. And yet, I mean, everything around you is screaming it at you all the time, right? I mean, you can cut the cable. You can stay away from the internet or like get a dumb phone that won't social network. But our very society is constantly underscoring that idea. You are your relationship status. Now, the Census Bureau and the statisticians tell us that people are staying single longer these days. And so, in theory, that might make it better, right? I don't know if that's true or not. From my vantage point, though, it seems harder now to be a single person than ever before. And I was single not that long ago in the era of social media, and I genuinely think it's harder right now to be a single person than it was when I was single. You know, instead of thinking to yourself, oh, this person seems interesting, attractive, maybe we'll, you know, strike up a conversation and we'll click, right? Now, we compile data on each other and like anonymously analyze the other person and evaluate them on a dating app maybe, right? And regardless of whether they swipe left or right, that's a little bit dehumanizing, is it not? It seems to me that the digital age leaves us feeling lonelier. And if you're in a spot where you'd say, well, I'd rather not be single, the fact that more people are staying single sometimes plays out in just making you feel bad or like feel weak or something that you would rather not be in the place where you are right now. So let's just say a couple things right off the bat. First of all, God made humans for relationship, right there in the beginning of Genesis, right? So your longing is normal and natural and to some extent good, and romance is absolutely not the only place where we experience this, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit more down the line. But for the most part, we were built with this desire from the very beginning. So it's good. Don't try to kill it. You'll kill yourself if you do. And second, let's underscore this as much as possible over the next 6 weeks. You are not your singleness. You are not your singleness. The ghost of relationship past does not define you. I really made a mess of things when I was single, not just by my lack of understanding how to behave in a relationship, but morally as well. It was my sin. And so whether that's you and you feel like you've messed it all up, or whether you feel like you really did it all right and the rewards just didn't quite come in yet, nonetheless, either way or somewhere in the middle, this is not who you are. You know, Jeff Norris is going to dig a little bit deeper into that next week. And in the following weeks, then, we're going to look at relationship present, relationship future. And Caleb Click is really going to unpack those weeks for us. And you really want to be here for all of that. But let's just say here in week one, as sort of our baseline, no matter if you feel deep shame or immense pride over the way you've conducted yourself in regard to relationships in the past, that does not define you. And if you keep feeding that insidious lie, it will become destructive to you if it hasn't already. Regardless of your past, you are not your present either. You are not your current relationship status. So that pushes back then on our pride and shame as well, doesn't it? I mean, I am not my current relationship status. I'm not. So there is zero room for pride for me in a room of single people. Zero. There's zero room for shame as well. But you know, God arranged my life a certain way, and this is reality for me right now. And I'm not an iota better than anyone. Might be worse. So whether you're single or married or divorced, no matter the cause, we are the same. We are the same. You are not your relationship status. You know, there's this old phrase. It's kind of churchy, but I love it. And somebody said it was Billy Graham that said it. I'm not really sure who to attribute it to exactly, but you've probably heard it before. It says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Did you believe that tonight? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The Apostle Paul, one of the authors of Scripture who, you know, took the message of Jesus out and helped establish all those early churches, he said it this way in Galatians: there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And this would have represented a variety of social stations, right? In those early churches, Jewish folks were often given more respect than the Greeks. We see plenty of times today, men are still given more respect, more honor than women in many places. Can you imagine having less respect than a slave? Less honor, being owned? So Paul says these distinctions of honor or respect are meaningless in Christ Jesus. And that means you are not your relationship status in the future either. Some of us know, some of us may have decided that singleness is the call that God placed on our lives. Most in this room probably are hoping that's not the case. And the truth is, for most of you, it won't be. But no matter what you look out and see. When you think about the future, that does not define you. Some folks are attracted to the same sex and they're struggling with what it means to follow God and deal with this reality that you can't remember not having. And sometimes your thoughts then of relationship future can seem scary. Some feel like, well, I'm past my prime. And some feel like there's just no realistic path out of singleness that I can see right now. You are not your bleak outlook on future relationships. You are not singleness. Now, all this is fine to say, right? Some might be thinking, I mean, you're just some guy standing at the front of a chapel kicking off a singleness series. Like, what do you know? You can't just make these pronouncements over my life and make them true, right? It sounds like you were single for a while, but you don't know my life. You don't know my singleness, my longing. Like, who are you to say this? And if I'm just trying to give you a pep talk, if I'm just trying to give you some nice things to think about, I would absolutely agree with that. Absolutely. But I do not make these pronouncements over you. God does. And we saw a taste of it earlier in this idea that he says we're all equal in Christ. The Bible also says this in 1 John, well-known passage, right? See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And this is who you are, no matter what you've done, or where you are, or what you think your future holds. For those who have come to God and said, I can never do enough. I can never be good enough to earn your love. I trust Jesus that when he went on the cross, he took my sin away. He took my punishment to give me life that would never, ever end and to change me. This is who you are, child of God. And for those who've maybe not put your hope in Jesus yet, this is the promise that he makes to you if you would come to him, child of God. You are not single person. I am not married person. We are children of God together. See, when we trust Jesus, he does this thing. He unites himself to us. What does that mean? God unites himself to people? Like, what on earth? The Bible uses a whole bunch of different images to try to get this across to us. And so, you know, in 1 Corinthians, the image is that we're like a physical body. In 1 Peter, we're a building. The book of Ephesians says we're part of God's family in chapter 2. And then it says we're like Christ's bride in chapter 5. And Galatians says, not only are you children, you are sons, which is specific, it's different. It means you are heirs. You receive everything that God is. You receive real life, the life you long for, the life you need. And so ladies are sons in this way. And God's an equal opportunity offender here, right? The ladies are sons. Guys, you're part of the bride. I'm like, okay. When you become a follower of Jesus, you're united to him. You're united to him. You are not single. You're his. You are united to him, and all that's his and all that is him is yours. It's like marrying into a billionaire family, and God doesn't do prenuptials, right? His worth is your worth. He defines you. So that means you are valuable. You're valuable theologically, yes. But this is not just valuable in like a little teaching on Sunday morning or on a Tuesday evening or whatever. You're pragmatically valuable as well. We need you. We need you. You know, historically, the church has actually been pretty decent with this. One of the reasons that Christianity spread so quickly in the Greco-Roman world is that Christians actually gave respect and value to single people, and in particular single women, who in the broader culture were seen as worthwhile only by attaching themselves to a man. And so this well-known sociologist, a guy named Rodney Stark, has done work there to show that historically. And this guy, he wasn't even a believer when he wrote these things. have a mutual friend with him who seems to think he's become one now, but he's just in the academic world looking at this. The church has historically been okay with it. Maybe not so much these days. The church has, in many ways, dropped the ball. And even at a great place like Perimeter, I know because I was here and I was single for quite a while, it can feel like you're not valued. I promise you are. I promise that you are, regardless of who knows it, regardless of who recognizes it or not, you are valuable. I promise that we, Perimeter, need you. We, the church, need each other, brothers and sisters. You know, the biggest questions that I have in life right now are about how to parent my kids without completely ruining them, right? So I'm acutely aware of my need for other parents and mentors to encourage me along the way, but I need you. I need your perspective. I need your gifts. I need your wisdom. And I'm incredibly thankful that I get to work in a ministry where I'm around single people a fair amount, and I get some of that. And some of y'all are parents as well, so you can give me wisdom from sort of both ends. But we need your perspective, your gifts, your wisdom. And let me say this, just one last thing as we close out here. One unique way that I think we're going to unpack as we move forward here, that I'd love to just sort of put this bug in your ear and see what God would do with it. Though we are all in different places in our lives, we're all in different places in terms of our singleness, you are all uniquely positioned to make the church, Perimeter, and anywhere else that God would take you, to make the church family. For those on the outside who are struggling, alone, scared, maybe like we all have been, there is something about the community of single folks that can do that like no other. You're not single. You're his. You are valuable, and we need you. Let me pray. Lord, would you press that into each one of our hearts? Would you not let us get away from that? If that is what you have for us tonight, Lord, if it's just what I came up with, well, let's let it fall away. But if that's what you have for us tonight, would you burn this into our souls, whether we be married or single or whatever, that your church desperately needs every person in this room, the perspective, the gifts that you have given. Lord, would you do a mighty work? We know we're all part of different communities and we're going to do different things, but would you do a work here among singles at Perimeter that we couldn't even imagine? Lord, would you cause us to so value your people who happen to be single? That you might even describe it as revival and what happens afterward. Lord, and would you lead us? Would we learn together over the course of the next 6 weeks what it really means to love one another, to really be brothers and sisters, to support one another, and to glorify you? We pray in the name of Christ Jesus.